Welcome to the Louis Belina Show. Friday, the best day of the week. Friday is a great day. It's almost like a holy day here on the Louis Belina Show. Today looks like this. 11:35, a special appearance by Braden Gall of 440 Sports and ESPN Radio. Normally, Thursdays we hang out. Yesterday, he had an interview he was doing run long and then longer. So we were not able to hook up. Today, 29 minutes and change from now, or is it 28 minutes and change? Math is not my strong point. 11:35, Braden Gall on the Smoothie King Hotline. Today's Friday, and at Smoothie King, it's free upsize Friday. Your small smoothie is a medium smoothie for free every Friday at Smoothie King. Today is Friday. Ding, ding, ding. Stop by Smoothie King. At 12:05, Bryce Jones, barbecue pitmaster. The Smokin' Aces are in competition this weekend. Part of the whole Grimes County, Texas Western weekend, they have a cookout. Smokin' Aces every year participate in that cookout. Bryce Jones will join me live inside the Charles Schwab studio. And we're going to talk a little barbecue today. And also some Aggie football. And also some Astros baseball and more. Bryce Jones every Friday, noon till 1 inside the Charles Schwab studio. There's more. High school sports update. It's every Friday. It's every Monday. On Friday, it's a look at the weekend ahead. At Monday, the weekend that just happened. We take a look at Brian Rutter, A&M Consolidated, College Station High, the Brazos Valley. High school sports update every Friday and Monday is thanks to Kelly Burt Dozer. And Kelly Burt Dozer has been involved with high school athletics as far back as I can remember. You know, on Friday nights, when you're listening to your favorite teams on your favorite Brian broadcasting stations, you'll hear Kelly Burt Dozer. When I used to do the high school sports profile, Kelly Burt Dozer, they're pretty awesome. They believe in our high school, the Utes of tomorrow. At any time today, you have a question for me, a question for Bryce, question for Braden, questions, comments, or opinions, text. You can email. That's weird. I won't see it till like tomorrow. And you can call. That's fine with me. We'll see if Abby sees the phone line ringing. So you can call or text. Number's the same. Of course it's the same. 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. Once you hit send, I see all messages inside the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. Texas Mobile One Lube Express, owned by Gabriel Garcia. Text me now. The weekend ahead, A&M Men's Hoop tomorrow night, 7:30. Hosting Vanderbilt. These games are crucial. They got the win against Auburn, +2 in my book, on the road, snapped the longest streak in the country against a top 15 opponent. It's a big quad one win. That was huge. But the key is, because of your non-conference, you don't have the luxury of giving one back. You're supposed to beat Vanderbilt. You're the favorite to beat Vanderbilt. Losing to Vanderbilt would be -1. And again, I'll say it for the last time, A&M doesn't have that freedom or luxury because it's so tight to make the tournament. And just by going +1, it doesn't mean they can lose now and go minus. Not at all. You get it. This is the kind of win, got to win, need to win, should to win. I expect them to win. I haven't seen a lull game ever since they turned the corner. Have you? I mean, the only loss is Kentucky. And in that one, they lost 8 different ways. And the officials were way, way too much of a factor in that game. But they don't have lull games. And I don't expect them to. I mean, they'll get beat, and some nights they're not hitting their shots, but just because you're having a bad shooting night doesn't mean that you're having a lull night. I don't think so. 979-693-1150. You can text about anything. And Rudy, I did say Utes. I did say Utes. The men, currently second place, third place by percentage. We need to be clear. In the SEC, Bama's 8-0, Tennessee 7-1, A&M 6-1. They've just played more games. And Tennessee's at 875 to A&M's 857. There's plenty of games remaining. I'm not going to worry about percentage points yet. Net, 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 net. A&M's updated net is 42. What is the magic number I have been saying for 3 weeks now about auto bids, auto invites, where the committee kind of can't screw you over? If you're a Power 5 school and you're 42 or under, you're in. You're not even bubble. You're going to get in. It's not going to be a debate. And A&M today, the net is 42. Sorry, that's the kind of thing that gets me tingly. That's why a game like Vanderbilt Saturday is so valuable. Their net is 93. A win actually does nothing for you net-wise. It might hurt you a little, but a loss, and A&M already has a quad three loss and a quad four loss, a loss to Vanderbilt's just like another resume killer, another torpedo to you. And look, all the work A&M's done, their net is 42. They're in prime time position. And I'm thinking bigger picture here. Me, you, us, haven't we been stressing making the NCAA tournament? Let's talk championship for a second. We haven't seen enough of Alabama. If you've watched a lot of Alabama basketball, I will stand corrected. But I'm going to say that you and I, we together, have not watched enough Alabama basketball. Maybe they are the clear number one in the league. I've heard people say they're number one in the country. But from what I have seen of league play and league results, A&M can play with anybody. A&M can beat anybody. A&M might accidentally bring home an SEC championship. That accidentally is just being cute. I don't mean that as an insult. So I think we can shift the conversation. 8 games into an 18-game schedule, pretty deep. A&M 7 in, but pretty deep. This weekend, the rest of the league pretty much will be in the Big 12 Challenge, whereas A&M will get their 8th game in to get even with the rest of the league. But I think we can shift from, you know, tournament wonders to wondering if they're going to get an SEC title this year. That's the level they're playing at. I think they went beyond saying, oh, it was just a phase or a fad or 1 week in the history of. Because when you've been doing it for a full month every game, I think that's your proof of a concept. What do you think? Let's start talking about SEC titles, which would inherently equal the NCAA tournament. I think we're at that point. That's how I'm going to move forward. Now that I see the net at 42, I live in no fear. On Sunday, the A&M women's basketball team, they're going to be in Nashville. They take on Vanderbilt. Kind of a doubleheader of Vanderbilt, is it right? And I was happy for Joni Taylor. I was happy for the A&M women's team to get that first W, to get the schneid off the back. And how simple was it when it was just somebody came back and got healthy? They've been playing with 7 and not their starting 7. Decimated by injury is an understatement. So they get back one healthy starter. She goes off for like 20+, and they magically win their first game. It's like, wow. Give her players and maybe they'll win. So, and it seemed awesome to have off the midweek after the W so that they could catch their breath. It's not to soak it in. Coaches always say you got to get over it in 24 hours, but just to rest on it. Let it, and it is to sink in a bit after the rough start. Good timing for a bye week after getting that monkey off your back. So the A&M women, Vanderbilt, Sunday, 12 noon. And that game, by the way, is on Gospel 97.3 FM. If you're a women's basketball fan, you probably picked up on this. But the zone has the majority of the A&M women's basketball games, but Gospel 97.3 FM also has select A&M women's basketball games. And in between the two, the flagship stations, if you've ever wondered, you have News Talk 1620 and 94.5, The Zone 1150 AM and 93.7 FM, and Gospel 97.3. Why does it take three stations to be the flagship? Because we give you all the A&M. You can listen and watch all your favorite teams. We've got, this is what all between WTAW, The Zone, and Gospel. You've got Aggie football, A&M basketball, men and women's, Aggie baseball on The Zone. Whoop, let's get this thing going. But then you also have Aggie soccer. You have Aggie softball. And we're talking about almost every game. And it takes quite a few stations to make that happen when you consider the crossover between seasons. It's pretty awesome. I love that if you're an Aggie fan, there's a great chance your favorite team will play on one of the Bryan Broadcasting flagships, which are WTAW, 1620, 94.5. Of course, The Zone, Hi Hello, 1150 AM, 93.7 FM, and Gospel. Gospel has the full soccer schedule. Gospel has every A&M softball game. Gospel 97.3 FM. And one other thing, since I'm kind of helping people as we start new seasons here, online you hear everything I just said at RadioAggieland.com. You can listen online to everything I just said at RadioAggieland.com. Let's take our first break on a Friday. I'm psyched. I'm excited. Why? Because it's Friday. This is the Louis Belina Show, live inside the Charles Schwab Studio. The Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Two remarkable businesses, one amazing family. Yeah, the same family owns both of them. It's pretty incredible. I got a simple question. Heading into the sports weekend, I feel like we're still in that lull where, you know, Aggie baseball hasn't started. Aggie basketball keeps playing these 7:30, 8 o'clock at night games. What's on your sports plan? How are you getting your sports fix? What are you doing in the sports universe? How are you hibernating until spring football? For you as a sports fan, like if you're a Cowboys fan, you know, once the playoffs started, you knew their season was over, and then they shocked you with a win and then gut punched you by not being able to score 20 points. I mean, what do you look forward to on your sports weekend? What's your plans? What are you going to do? You know, we're talking Aggie men, but Saturday night, 7:30. What a garbage time. Oh, no. I mean, you know, they're playing. People go. I hope it's sold out. This team deserves sold out games, but it's hard. How do I say this? Sports is part of the entertainment universe, right? And sports is always competing for the entertainment dollar. And that's where a lot of the comparisons have to come in. And a Saturday night, you got a lot of options. Options you don't have on other days of the week. And if you're a music person, there's shows. And I don't mean you're going to go see, well, insert your favorite act here, but the clubs, you know, local music. Maybe you go out of town, catch your music. Or if you're a movie person, that, you know, Monday through Thursday, you're working stiff, you don't go out like that. Friday, Saturdays are kind of your two options, right? A 7:30 at night game, you put a basketball game at noon, 2, you can, that's a perfect time before the pate, the other entertainment starts. 7:30 is a tough slot. I wonder how many people will be there at the Vanderbilt game. The fact that, am I correct that Kentucky did not even sell out? It was 12K, but not the 2,500 that a sellout's required, but the Kentucky game, that was in Lexington. So what game? Oh, sorry, the Florida game. Yeah, see, I'll fix my own problems. The Florida game, which traditionally, the first game the students are back is the highest attendance game of the year, if or one of. Just little things like that. Now, yesterday we kind of hit up A&M's four toughest net opponents are all at Reed. So if the bandwagon's going to fill up, if the momentum's going to continue, there'll be plenty of opportunities. I mean, if A&M's going to play Alabama for the SEC title, that's the last game of the year in March. I got to imagine that would be SRO and the highest attended game of the year. Yeah? Anybody with me on that one? I'm with me on that one. Anyway, we'll see. 979-693-1150. Anybody? Who's all in? Aggie basketball? Who's got plans? Cuervo Wag says simply, Louie, this is a time for me to get reacquainted with my wife during this sports doldrums time. It's weird. I find myself complaining more about the times. And, you know, Wednesdays at 1. Oh, it's the holidays. Nobody's here. And then when people are here, you're playing Saturday nights at 7:30 and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Like, when is a perfect time? How do you get a perfect schedule? Is there such a thing? Odd, isn't it? I thought about that. Is there such a thing as a perfect schedule? Especially when you see, to me, such weirdness. During the holidays, you schedule like garbage because you think nobody cares. Play 3 games in 5 days with 1 o'clock games. I mean, on a weekday. But then when it matters, TV controls your schedule. It's tough. The weird thing is, to me, the key to selling out games. Here you go. With Aggie basketball, I'm going to put a more realistic goal than selling out every game. The key to having 10K plus every game is volume. You know, you got 77,000 students to start, and can you get 4,000 out of a pool of 20,000 that are basketball fans, but 4,000 out of that 20,000, you know, rotating every game as opposed to expecting the same 4,000 to 6,000 every game? That's a big ask. They might have class the next day. They might have a big exam they have to study for. I don't know. And even, you know what, Bryan College Station, what is our civilian population now? I'm just kind of wondering in my head. The population, are we 300, 400, 500K? What are we right now? But you realize with numbers in that area, if you could get 7,000 civilians and then the 4,000 plus students, you're at 11K every game. And look at the pool numbers. I always thought that would be the key to Aggie basketball. It's not having this core that will beat every game. That's impossible, again, with the times and the days and the randomness that seems to come in. But Aggie basketball has always had a hard time building a fan base, hardcore or volume of any kind. I felt like the Billy Clyde Gillespie era really exposed that. If you were here, you know, those were 10K. Those were 8K. Felt a little low, but was normal. I mean, that was as good as it, I think it'll ever get. And the second he was gone, attendance started in a decline. And following him, was it Turgeon? And he won, but people didn't like the style, so they quit going. Even though he won 20 a game, went to the NCAA tournament. But people stopped going. Is it just going to be eternal that Aggie basketball is not a thing in Bryan College Station? Because again, if it was from just the population of the Brazos Valley, you could do 10K a game by rotating through people. With 77,000 students and you only need 4,000 to 6,000 of them per game, you can rotate through and have per game, right? Maybe I'm off. I don't know. I just don't think that for some reason basketball will ever connect. 979-693-1150. Colin Stephenville. Louie, that's me. Just think how bad next weekend will be sports-wise. Still no college baseball. And the NFL will be trying to do their flag football Pro Bowl game. Horrible. No, they're not doing flag, right? because that's how they get players injured for nothing. They're going to be doing the skills competition Pro Bowl. And I'm excited by that. Kidding me? I want to see long drive. And dodgeball. Dodgeball, a true underdog story. According to the last census, there's over 200K in population, College Station, Bryan. You throw in the rest of the drivable Brazos Valley, we might get to 300K, plus then the 75,000 students. Get 10K a game out of that number should be easy rotating through people, but it doesn't happen and will never happen in our lifetime. Yeah. Sad but true. Oh, we're maroon and whiting it, aren't we? Two things. Aggie softball. The SEC softball preseason coaches poll came out. They picked A&M 12 out of 13 teams. A&M softball, I think, has a very wide variance for the upcoming season. With a first-year coaching staff, you don't know what you have. That's just the bottom line truth. You really don't have a clue. And since she, Trisha Ford, head coach, is a pitching coach and a very well-regarded pitching coach, I just know if you start with M and you get M right, she can be a first-team All-SEC pitcher. I think that's her upside. And that was the frustrating part of last year, is how Kara never got M right, and she didn't know how to work with M. She knew how to mentally work with M, but mechanically couldn't. And if Coach Ford connects with M, they're already not a last place team. And then the rest of the pitching, how good a pitching coach is she? What can she get out of the, it's all, and you're kind of in line for that to be a really big deal. So 12, sure, if nothing works, but if they get the pitching staff going, also deep dive Aggie softball, give me 30 seconds. Their non-conference schedule is horrible. Like, I have no idea why this is put together, actually. But their conference schedule, SEC softball, you have 3 years worth of schedule that rotates. And you have the horrific year that no one can survive. The really bad year that's awful and tough, but you got a good team, you have a fighting chance. And then you have your off year where you don't play Florida, Alabama, and, oh gosh, I forget the third team, all LSU. Like, it's the gift schedule. So for the brutal should be a legal year, there is a good year. A&M softball this year has their good year. This was the schedule they had during the corona year that got canceled, and A&M didn't get to play the good year. But in conference, SEC, Aggie softball has the good year this year. So that's more than a little exciting, actually, if you're an Aggie softball fan, is this year's schedule. Aggie softball's right around the corner, 1 week from Thursday. The season opens on a Thursday? I guess so. 1 week from Thursday, Aggie softball 2023, a new era begins. All right, let's take a break, come back. Brayden Gall, 440 Sports, will join me on the. He's 440 Sports and ESPN Radio. Brayden Gall will join me on the Charles... Well, join me on the Smoothie King hotline. I'm inside the Charles Schwab studio. It is the Louis Belina Show, Friday style. It is the Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Let us go to Nashville, that's somewhere in Tennessee, and hang out with Brayden Gall, 440 Sports, ESPN Radio. Dude, what's up in your world?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just hanging out on a Friday.
Fair enough. Look, in your podcasting universe, what day are you days? Like, are you actually like off Friday and you get to do stuff?
Well, lately we've been doing some hockey stuff on Friday morning, but generally Fridays, yeah. Like, Fridays are kind of my relaxation days. And once football season ends, weekends are back to being family days. So it's not quite 4-day work week because, you know, during the football season, it's like a 7-day work week. But in the off season, you do get to take a few breaths. That's for sure, especially with college football. Although while I love the drama of the last couple of weeks, it felt like normal, regular SEC drama, like just like old school stuff, which I love. And I love talking about that stuff. It's a lot easier and like you know, yes, managing all the roster stuff and the portal and everything is wild, and tracking all this stuff is so much fun and the drama is great. But it is not nearly as time consuming as like a 14-hour TV day on Saturday or traveling or whatever. So it's Fridays are pretty light. So I like hanging out with guys like you on Friday. You know?
I would like to take a moment to introduce you. And you're like, you've been hanging out with me for 20 years, but this is a college town. It is the start of a new semester, and you have that turnover rate. And I think it's neat to reintroduce people every so often so they don't sit there and go, who's this Braden Gull guy? It's like, no, it's Braden Gall.
It's Brandon Gale is what it is.
It's Brandon Gale, crack reporter. He's with the news team. He killed someone with a trident. He's been in hiding.
I have never reported on crack. That's never happened. Okay. Just college football.
So tell people a little bit of your story. What was your first, journalism gig?
So I started at a radio station in Knoxville. I went to the University of Tennessee. I graduated, went back when they were good at football, although I guess they were good this year. I began at a radio station, like a local shop. One of the biggest country stations actually in the country was in the building. And I was going to do like sales. I was working for a rock and roll station, and then they launched a sports channel and asked me if I wanted to like produce a midday show. And I said, heck yeah. I learned how to like run a board and, set up remote. And get the truck out there at the gas station. Come on down and buy some hot dogs to support the local school. Blah 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 blah, that kind of stuff. And just kind of fell in love with radio, which is maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Also the best thing that's ever happened to me. But that's how I got started. And then I 3 weeks later, I got a job offer to work at Rivals.com in Nashville and moved back to Nashville, which I never thought I was going to do, and started. Literally, we started the first ever national college football radio show ever on Rivals Radio. It was Sirius 123 at the time. It had not even merged yet with XM and hadn't become its own channel. We were just sort of like a morning show. And producing that show for a guy named Bill King for 3 years was like getting a master's in college football and recruiting and just like every day it was like a three-hour lecture hall on the depth of the game, the history of the game. And I was already a huge fan, but like, man, I if you think you know sports and then you get into the business, you learn very quickly how little you do know.
I actually 100% agree with that. It's one of those things, make sure that you know what you know 100% and then be ready to learn everything else.
Well, and like, it's not any different than any business. Like, I can be a huge fan of cooking or a huge fan of whiskey or a huge fan of beer. Clearly, all these things are in the same category. I like food. But, like, until you actually are a brewmaster or until you actually are running a restaurant, like, you can pretend to be an expert and you can know a lot. You can be very informed and very smart and very opinionated, and fans are this way. Like, fans have a right to have an opinion on their offensive coordinator. I think it's one of the silliest things in the world to blame referees and offensive coordinators for your team's success or failure. But again, like that's because I'm inside it and I've been in coaches' rooms and sat down with coaches while they break down plays and why they would run this play with that formation against that look. And a lot of times what a bad play looks like. I mean, I think, again, it's not trying to say that like people in the business know more, but like, I don't do my taxes because my accountant does, because my accountant's better at taxes. I used to do my taxes. I was okay at it. But if I'm an expert at doing taxes, I'm going to do it better than I do. So I just think some people, some people miss that on Twitter when it comes to like anything in the world. Like, we don't all have to have opinions about everything that happens in the entire world, because frankly, you're not an expert. I don't care.
What would be the point of social media if you had to be an expert? There'd be no one on social media.
Well, what's so funny about the internet and then social media afterward is that it started in like a sort of really genuinely awesome way. Like the internet when it first started was just sort of this random weird place for people to like search out like-minded information in these little weird rooms and blogs and pages, and social media wasn't all that different. Social media started, like, I got into Twitter in 2009, and Twitter is my drug of choice. I am not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. In fact, all my information on Facebook is not even real. It's like it's a fake person. I don't trust you, Zuck. And I, like, Twitter, I got on Twitter and fell in love with it so fast because I worked in college football, and I just wanted to talk about college football with other people who love college football during college football games, you know, during the off season. I just wanted to talk about college football all the time, and it was so fun to sort of just find like-minded people that just wanted to discuss, like, Oregon State's offensive coordinator or, you know, like, Clemsoning or, you know, just pick anything. Like, it was just so much fun. And then as it tends to happen, you know, more and more people get access to more and more information, to more and more things, and then the algorithms get stronger, and all of a sudden, like, outrage is what keeps you on the app and what makes them money. And so all of a sudden, outrage gets pushed to the front, and then we start yelling at each other, and that's where we end up, you know, where we are now. But I still think if you can curate your Twitter feed to just be the things you care about, I still have a pretty good experience on Twitter. Like, I don't get much trolling. I don't get much. I mean, there's plenty of snark, but like, I talk college football on my Twitter feed. I talk national sports and I talk college football. And sure, I've got opinions about other things, but largely we kind of keep it in our lanes and keep it cordial. And I think you can curate your experience pretty well. It's been harder lately because I don't think people realize that the job of a social media company is to make your experience fun and good, and so that you come back, they make more money, and advertisers want to be there. I'm not sure the guy who owns Twitter understands that, but I still have a pretty good experience. I still enjoy it.
You know, we don't want to sit here and talk Twitter all day, but the thing that bothers me now is the amount of suggested content and algorithm content that they put on my Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has now, because I know what you mean. I've always felt that way too, where you can curate your own timeline, follow what you want, and you end up having the experience you want. But Twitter's now taken that away from me.
Well, what's funny is people ask me a lot, like, so it's on my computer, on my desk, on my laptop, like on TweetDeck, you don't get any of that.
Correct.
Like,
you
don't get any of it. So you don't get, and I'm working on my laptop most of the day, or taping shows or on the air or whatever. And I'm on my laptop most of the time. And when I'm away from work, I don't really get on any apps other than Twitter. And the only thing I really do is to either send out a tweet or to have a conversation with people in my mentions, and which I enjoy, especially during live events or if I'm at a sporting event or whatever. But I don't really read Twitter on my phone. I read it on my laptop, and that's where I gain information. Now, every now and then there's a big story happening or something, you know, you're jumping on your phone or on your app. But like, when I'm away from work or away from the laptop, I don't really read Twitter. I read the mentions because I like talking to people. I like interacting with our audience. I like, if somebody wants to debate, you know, Texas A&M football, like, I love that stuff. Like, that's the whole point of having Twitter in my mind. So I'm all about, like, just reading mentions, talking to each other, following up, having conversations. I don't really even click the far left button on the app on my phone very often, like every now and then, but not very often. I do the reading on the laptop, and that's when I'm working.
For those, again, Braden Gall, 440 Sports, kind of an intro too. He has been, he mentioned Sirius originated one of the first college football shows, but also he has been local Nashville morning show host, ESPN radio duties, and then he created 440 Sports, which is a podcasting empire. And one of those podcasts in particular of interest, I think, to all of us here in Bryan College Station is The Fringe Element.
Yeah, like I said, college football has been my baby my whole life. ESPN hired me to do radio because of college football. I worked for SiriusXM for 10 years talking about college football. I work at Athlon Sports still, the preseason magazine. We're working on putting those magazines together now, which, of course, is college football. So when I launched my own network here in Nashville during the pandemic with nothing else going on, I thought Nashville fans deserved better. So we launched a bunch of shows, but I was never going to not do college football. College football is the greatest sport on the planet. And so,
and they don't have college football in Nashville.
come on. my daughter's first SEC football game was this past, you know, November, and it was in Nashville. So technically, there was an SEC football game in Nashville that we went to.
What'd you take her? Was it Lambert, Limford? What's the Lipscomb?
Are we talking? Are we going to continue the joke, or should we move back to promoting my product, Louie?
Well, you're the one that won't promote your product, not me.
Fringe Element podcast, SEC football only, all SEC football. But we also, in the offseason, love to mix it up. Like, we had a comedian on to break down the Georgia game because he's a huge Georgia fan. Corey Forrester is one of my favorites. Favorite comedians going right now, and he's a huge Dogs fan. We got musicians that come on to talk about, like, hey, I was watching Bama while we were playing a show at Hangout Fest or whatever. Like, I had to have the iPad below me when I was playing drums at 9 p.m. you know, in October, because we were playing a music fest, but Bama was playing. So we try to branch out during the off season into older stories and Southern culture, and we love music and bourbon and you know, all that kind of stuff as well. But it's SEC football every episode, 52 weeks a year. Fringe Elements on the YouTube page as well. You can watch it. Erin Dugan is my co-host. She's wonderful. She worked inside an SEC program for a decade, following coaches around, running video departments and stuff. And she's got a great perspective. And we've got great guests on all the time. I think you've been on the show a couple times. So, if you know, there's lots of good stuff on there. So check it out.
I remember doing it once, if I remember it right. But I always say the years and the beers, it's really hard to remember everything that's happened. But let's be honest about it after a while.
That's true.
And I remember talking to you when you were on Sirius. The one time I was in Nashville for the A&M game, I got to go up to the studio that was inside the hockey stadium. So I did that show with you. And I think I did one of yours from SEC Media Days, but that one could be wrong. But yeah, I've done various of your shows with you over time, and it's a lot of fun.
No, it's been great to. I think I've been doing your show for like 5 or 6 years now, so it's always good to see you.
Five or six, 15, 16?
Really? I just, wow. I took you to a brewery where my wife and I had our rehearsal dinner, and it's no longer a place that exists. So just that's how fast Nashville is changing. You and I went and had beers at a local brewery.
Yep.
Where my wife and I had our rehearsal dinner the Friday night before, and it is now, I think, like a. I don't even know what it is now.
Well, you also took me to that.
It's probably mixed use retail.
You took me to that chef table for dinner where it was you, me, but also Olin was there. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I think I owed Olin a steak probably. I want to say that was the Kenny Hill game where he went nuts on like the first Thursday against South Carolina. And we had bet at SEC Media Days, like, I think I had South Carolina plus the 7 or something like that.
Oh, no. And what you obviously were on the wrong side of that bet.
Yeah, I was very much so on the wrong side of that bet. Well, I think that was 2014 maybe? I don't remember. But so I worked with Olin, of course, at Rivals back in the day. And just I learned way too much about life from him, and that's not necessarily a good thing for young Braden to have done.
No. Let's grab on that note. We definitely regroup here. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll work some football into this. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Ready to go. 440 Sports, ESPN Radio, Sirius. Then added the XM to it, and so much more. Normally it's each Thursday, but hey, we're hanging out today. He's on the Smoothie King hotline. And Fridays at Smoothie King are upsize, well, the word is free, upsize Friday. Your small smoothie is a medium smoothie for free every Friday at Smoothie King. It's the Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. We're hanging out with Braden Gall as we head into the weekend. Braden Gall of 440 Sports ESPN Radio. Braden, I'm going to rapid fire hit you with some football questions that I had. What happened to Josh Gattis at Miami? Two seasons ago, he's the Broyles Award winner at Michigan for the top assistant. Then he's fired a year later at Miami.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because the reason he was, like, even if you go back and track the hiring at Michigan, it was done really weirdly. I think he was hired without ever having met Jim Harbaugh, which is really, really weird. He's had so many really good jobs, and I'm not sure it's ever clicked. And so I don't know how he keeps getting, like, how could you be Alabama, Michigan, Penn State, and Miami and like, keep moving and not be, like, you're... Like, I feel like people should know he's either good or bad at this point. And I'm just not sure that he was all that special at any stop. I don't know. I think he's a solid coach. He was here with James Franklin in Nashville. So I actually got a chance to get to know him a little bit. He's a good dude and everything, but like, I don't think it's ever clicked for him, and I don't know if you know, Gene Sisick won a national championship, I guess. So I suppose he can, Larry Coker, you can win a Broyles Award, I suppose, without being an elite coach, I guess. Miami also has a lot of problems this year, and they've got to rebuild the roster more than I think they expected.
Yeah, and they're recruiting like it, and they're hitting the portal hard. They're doing the work to rebuild their roster. And the Gattis thing, I mean, a week before signing day, after the portals, it seemed a very odd timing of it all.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
before
yeah.
spring football makes sense. But other than that, the rest of the timing seems really weird. Like it was a decision that legitimately didn't get make. But what, Dan Lanford woke up last night and said, I don't anymore.
I do think, though, that we had a lot of, like, with the portal closing and the NFL draft being this, like, last week. And again, I don't love this part of the game, but the way you have to sort of mislead people, especially in recruiting and
yes.
in the portal, the draft is the same way. Like, there's a lot of – you have to, like, hey, come here. I think it was Roquan Smith that was going to go to – that was signed to go to UCLA or committed to UCLA on signing day, didn't sign his LOI because you don't really have to, but he committed to UCLA on signing day. And then the coach, like, the D.C. left to go be, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons or something, like, the next day, and he waited to tell Roquan Smith, and Roquan Smith – smartly did not sign his LOI, and then was like, okay, fine, I'm not going to hear that because I wanted to play for you. I'm going to go back home and play for Georgia. It turns out that was a pretty good decision by him. Not that Roquan Smith wouldn't have been great anywhere, but that's the kind of thing that happens. Like, we see it all the time. Like, these coaching moves happen right after signing day, right after the portal closes, right after the NFL draft stuff, because you got to tell people, you know, you can't, it's a must-lie situation for a lot of people, unfortunately.
If kids were smarter, they'd wait more. Understanding how the game is currently being played, where 2 days later, the entire coaching staff on your side of the ball is gone, and they knew all along. The schools aren't going to tell you. I'm just saying, if kids were smarter, they would use all their resources and powers, because if you're a five-star star or a 4 3/4 star, you have all the power in the world.
Yeah, that is your moment of leverage. Like, your moment of leverage is before you sign anything. Like, that's when you have all the power. So you have to sort of prolong that process and make sure you use that power to the maximum ability, right?
Oh, so, absolutely.
They
can wait till next week. I had a couple of in. I was going to ask you about Aaron Rodgers, but it can all wait. It can all wait.
How about this? My quick take on Aaron Rodgers as a shareholder of the Green Bay Packers. Never once did for one second did I ever think he wasn't going to be the quarterback last season, ever. Not one time. I said it on every platform. I feel almost 100% the opposite this year. I don't think there's a chance he's a starting quarterback in Green Bay. I think it's Jordan Love's job, for better or for worse. And I'm assuming the Tennessee Titans are involved, but probably the Jets. But definitely the AFC. So we'll see.
If the Jets get Rodgers, they need to fire Hackett, who they just signed, because Hackett's a hack. He's one of those. Everywhere he's went, the offenses went down. I mean, statistically, I can prove it.
Well, but you know that's why they hired him, though, in Denver, was to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's why. Like, he and Aaron Rodgers are, like, best friends. So
I'm going to move on from it. Just
yep.
It's just
yep.
such a bad hire and bad after bad. And that was my point, Rodgers. I know he's going to move, too. It just seems Aaron Rodgers is talking like it's inevitable, too. If you've heard he's talked about.
Every elite quarterback in the history of the NFL, I don't think people realize that. Like, almost every single Hall of Famer ends up prolonging their career somewhere else. Like, other than, like, John Elway. I can't think of one that didn't. Like, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, like, Brett Favre, you name it. They all change teams at the end. Johnny Unitas, like, they all do it.
I got to go. I love talking just with you, period. Have an amazing weekend. We'll connect next Thursday. Thank you always, brother.
All right, man.
Later. That was Braden Gall, 440 Sports, on the Smoothie King Hotline. I'll be back 5 1/2 minutes. Guess who? Bryce Jones time.